Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. So glad you could join me. My name is Monty Colvin, and you may not believe this, but I get literally thousands of emails every single day of my life from people proclaiming their love for this podcast.
That's a lie.
Well, okay, maybe not thousands, and maybe not every day, but I have heard from a couple of people who tell me that listening to this fine program helps them get through the rigors of their day.
That's hard to believe.
Take, for instance, Dan the Man Cunningham, who downloads the show and takes it to work with him, where it helps pass those miserable hours of slaving away at a factory that makes feminine hygiene products.
Okay, terrific.
Some people, like Jeff and Jackie Sheets, listen to the Rockcast in their car while they're driving across country to play frisbee with their dog. While others listen at the gym to forget the excruciating pain that they're in. Even my girlfriend Lindsay says that listening to my voice on her way to work prepares her for the day, puts her in a better mood, and prevents her from stabbing her coworkers in the neck with a fork.
It really hurts.
So whether you like this podcast for the cool tunes and informative banter, or just because you need a simple cure for your insomnia, thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'm glad I could help. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you're a person who is looking for new music, but you don't know what's out there, or you don't want to buy something that ends up sucking, well, this is your lucky day. Because on this very show, I will be reviewing a virtual buttload of new releases.
Okay!
Everything from well-known artists to the obscure.
Let's hear it. What have you got?
Obviously, it's the Rockcast, so I will be pulling no punches, and you will get my honest thoughts.
Just do it.
But I'll be playing you some clips from each CD, and you can make up your own mind.
Do it!
So without further delay, let's get things going with the brand new CD from Kiss. It's called Monster. Yeah, yeah. I always know what I'm gonna get with a Kiss album. Basic rock and roll songs with really bad, embarrassing lyrics. And once again, Gene and Paul do not disappoint. This album was produced by Paul Stanley, and while some of it sounds like recycled crap from the 80s, there is a vibe on here that takes me back to the early days of Kiss, and if you're a big fan of Kiss, I actually think you'll like this album a lot. Gene's bass tone is really cool, everybody in the band sings, and some of these tunes are pretty rockin' and pretty catchy. That's called Freak, and it was co-written by Tommy Thayer, who not only plays exactly like Ace Frehley, he probably writes better songs than Ace at this point.
This man is blaspheming.
To prove my point, here's a song called Out of This World that Tommy not only wrote, he sings lead vocals on. This is the 20th CD from Kiss, and no matter how good, bad, or mediocre their music is, you gotta give it up to them because they are genius. You know what I mean?
I think so. Explain that to me.
Back in the 70s, when they decided to put on makeup and costumes, that was a decision that made them ageless and timeless. They can literally play till they're 100 years old, and as long as we can ignore the wheelchairs and the walkers, we're still going to look at them and go, ah, cool, it's Kiss.
But baby!
Sure, it's contrived and just filled with cliches, but the new CD from Kiss is also fun, mindless entertainment, and there's nothing wrong with that once in a while. So that's the new one from Kiss, but while I'm talking about corporate rock, I might as well tell you about the new CD from 3 Days Grace. But before you think I'm going to be all critical of them, think again, because I actually like 3 Days Grace. You know, initially I didn't like that guy's voice, but it's grown on me over the years, and now I think it's awesome. I don't know how he's able to sing like that, but it's instantly recognizable as 3 Days Grace, and they know how to write some great tunes. The name of the CD is Transit of Venus. It was produced by my favorite producer, Don Gilmore, and overall it's pretty solid.
16 little runaway from the 5-0. Small town with no scene, looking for a shot on the big screen. Expectations go to hell. Expectations go to hell.
I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot of that CD on your FM radio station. But here's something you won't be hearing on the radio, at least not here in the U.S., because it's prog supergroup Flying Colors. I know a lot of you guys probably already have this, and you've been geeking out on it for months, but it's new to me, and I did not expect to like this. When I heard it was Steve Morris, Neil Morris, Dave LaRue, and Mike Portnoy, I figured it'd be overly complicated 10-minute songs with a lot of virtuoso wankery. And yeah, there's some of that, but what surprised me was how good the melodies were. I actually heard about this project before it was even recorded, because it was put together by a friend of mine named Bill Evans, who mixed my Crunchy Loserville CD. Bill asked me if I'd be interested in writing for the project, and of course I said yes. And of course that was the last I ever heard about it until the CD came out.
No!
Regardless, they got a guy named Casey McPherson to come into the band and write some songs and sing. And he did a great job, and there's some good tunes on here. Obviously, these guys are monster musicians, and they could have done anything they wanted, but kudos to them for just making a good album. There's a lot of different styles and kinds of music on here, everything from progressive to Beatles kind of stuff. And some of it reminds me a little bit of a band I used to love called It Bites. But definitely a pleasant surprise from Flying Colors. The storm. All right, got a question for you. Who likes the band Queen?
I do.
Okay, good. Well, do you like AC/DC?
Yeah.
Well, of course you do. And put them both together, and you've got the new CD by The Darkness called Hotcakes. Now, once upon a time, back in 2003, The Darkness put out a CD called Permission to Land, and it was great. It had a hit single on it called I Believe in a Thing Called Love, and it looked like they were going to be really big, but it didn't happen. Their singer, Justin Hawkins, left for a while and did some other projects, but the original lineup is back together, and the new CD is pretty good. I wouldn't call it great, but it's good. I imagine The Darkness is one of those bands you either love or hate, and you either find his voice cool or nauseating.
I hate it. I hate it.
I personally think they're cool because I think a lot of it is tongue-in-cheek, and I like a band with a sense of humor. So I'm going to give Hotcakes a thumbs up and 3 out of 5 bloody metal skulls. I know one thing, that is a good song. I also know another thing, and that is everyone who is listening right now is a fan of solo albums by great bass players.
You could not be more wrong!
And I know what you're thinking, but no, I'm not talking about me. Ha!
No kidding.
What I am talking about is a new release from Steve Harris of Iron Maiden, and it's called British Lion. Now, don't expect Iron Maiden, because it's not that. It's more of a mainstream rock record. And it's not really much of a solo album, because he's got a band and he co-wrote the songs with the band. But they probably figured everyone would pay more attention with his name on it.
That makes sense to me.
He's got a guy named Richard Taylor on lead vocals, and he's got a good voice, but I would have thought Steve Harris would have gotten somebody a little more dynamic. Now, the Rock and Roll Bible in England is Kerrang! Magazine, and they gave this CD 4 out of 5, which means one thing.
What?
I will never believe anything Kerrang! Magazine says ever again.
They're crazy people.
Don't get me wrong, I love Steve Harris. But if this wasn't Steve Harris, I don't think anyone would give this anything above a 2.5 or a 3. It's not horrible, and there's actually a couple good songs on here. But overall, I thought it was kind of weak, and even a couple of times I thought I was listening to some old demos from Boston. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I like Boston, but if I did that, everyone would say, "Hey, stupid, that sounds just like Boston.
You dumbass."
And then they'd say, "Oh yeah, and by the way, Kerrang! Gave your CD a 1.
You suck."
But that's alright. Steve Harris is one of my favorite bass players from one of my favorite bands of all time, so we're all gonna cut him some slack. I don't think this album was great, but if I ever meet him in person, I will bow down at his feet and tell him this CD was awesome. Believe it or not, Steve Harris is not the only bass player to put out a solo album. And I know what you're thinking, but once again, no, it's not me.
Thank God for that.
No, it's Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam, and the CD is called While My Heart Beats.
Thank you.
Let me just say, first of all, I've never been a Pearl Jam fan, but I've always liked Jeff Ament because he seems like a cool guy. I mean, he plays 12 strings and he likes basketball, so he must be a good guy. So I don't really want to say anything bad about this CD.
You coward.
Most of this is pretty mellow and moody. It's very alternative sounding, and it's not really my thing. The good news is that Jeff Ament is in Pearl Jam, which means even if this CD sucks, he's still gonna be filthy, stinking rich.
Oh, yeah, good one. I never thought of that.
So if you end up buying this CD and you like it, just remember you heard about it here on the Rockcast.
I'm not going along with this, okay?
Another solo CD that might interest you is from Serge Tankian, the lead singer from System of a Down.
I love you in the sunshine. You chase the moon with a spear. I pray that you will be all mine. You foam at the mouth and disappear.
I've only listened to this CD a couple of times, but I can tell you two things about it. Number one, I have no idea what he's talking about in any of these songs. And number two, every song sounds the same because he sings the same melody. Saying this is bad. There's actually some interesting things on here. And if you like this kind of stuff, more power to you. I'm just saying, I probably won't be listening to this a whole lot.
Thanks for the newsflash.
Something I will be listening to is the new one from the Devin Townsend Project. It's called Epic Loud. I know the term musical genius is probably overused, but in the case of Devin Townsend, it probably applies. And this new release is a diverse conglomeration of styles that ranges from pop to gospel to death metal, and somehow he makes it all work together. Devin Townsend's played with people like Steve Vai, and he was with the Wild Hearts for a while. And some of this reminds me of Ginger's solo stuff a little bit. But to get the full effect of what this CD is, you're going to have to just sit down with it, listen several times, and digest it.
It makes me want to throw up.
I mean, when you're listening to Kiss, that's like going to McDonald's. You know exactly what you're going to get, and that's fine. But I also like music that makes me think, and this is kind of an acquired taste. And if you chew on it a while and let all the flavors sink into your palate, you start to dig it.
The time.
Besides the rockers, he's got songs on here that remind me of Gordon Lightfoot, and then he'll turn around and crush your skull. There's also a female vocalist on here, and at times it sounds like there's an entire choir singing.
That sounds weird.
So a very interesting album from Devin Townsend Project. I think a lot of you guys will like it and should probably check it out. So those were some CD reviews, but now the moment that you've all been anxiously awaiting. It's time for me to announce the first inductees to Monty's Rockcast Listener Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, this is big.
Yeah?
Back in 2008, when I started this show, I just planned on it being all about me.
Bad idea.
Well, as time went on, you guys got more and more involved, started sending me top 10 lists and asking me questions, and you became a big part of this show. So right now, I'd like to show my appreciation and return the love by saluting some of you diehards for your dedication and contributions to my crappy little podcast.
Oh, pinch me.
So here we go. And the first person ever to be elected into my Hall of Fame, Mr. Stephen Hines. Yeah, Mr. Hines and I go all the way back to the beginning. I was actually listening to his podcast before I had one myself, and he started listening to mine. He's always sent me great questions, top 10 lists, including MP3s, and he's always just been very supportive of the show. I appreciate it. Congratulations, Mr. Hines. The next inductee from the great state of Washington, Brady Jennings. Yes, Brady not only wrote and recorded my top 10 jingle, his top 10 list was also a winner of the 2012 top 10 playoffs.
Playoffs?
So there you go. Brady's got to be in.
You kidding me?
The next member of my Hall of Fame from St. Louis, Missouri, Harry Announcer Guy Matt. Matt claims he has listened to every single episode, and I actually believe him.
And he's a liar.
He has intro'd the show before, sent me numerous MP3s and top 10 lists, and he is a past winner of the top 10 playoffs. So congratulations, Matt.
He's a maniac!
This next person will go down in history as the first female inductee, and for a while there, she was the only female listening to this show.
Shocker.
Congratulations, Cindy from Costa Rica. Cindy is a hardcore metal fan who likes Iron Maiden and all kinds of death metal. And back when I started the show, she created a blog site to help spread the word about this show.
She's not normal.
So thank you and congratulations, Cindy. The fifth member of this prestigious group is John Huff in Canada. John is a longtime listener, major supporter, and his top 10 lists are legendary. He is also a top 10 playoff champion.
I'm impressed.
His wit and intelligence could not be denied. Congratulations, John.
Woo!
The next inductee to Monty's Rockcast Hall of Fame is Eric from Orange County. Eric is a longtime listener, and he is known for his prolific and great questions for Ask Monty. Some of his classics include, Monty, what's the best thing about being on the road? And, Monty, have you ever heard of the band Annihilator?
That is a good question.
For me, the choice was easy. Congratulations, Eric.
Yeah!
The next person incredibly lucky enough to be inducted into Monty's Rockcast Listener Hall of Fame is Mark Walshack from Texas. Over the years, Mark and his wife have shown their support in many ways, including buying my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings.
They're crazy!
He has also sent numerous emails, top 10 lists, and audio MP3s, and for that, you rule, Mark. The eighth person to be crowned with the distinction of being inducted into my Listener Hall of Fame is Patrick from Minnesota. Patrick has been listening since the early and horrible episodes of the Rockcast. He has sent in numerous top 10 lists, was my bass tech on the Galactic Cowboy reunion tour, and drove all the way from Minnesota just to see my band Crunchy play.
He's insane!
For your kindness, dedication, and overall good taste, I say thank you and congratulations, Patrick. The next incredibly fortunate person to be enshrined is Fabrice in France. Fabrice always listens, is always excited every time I put up a new episode, and I'm pretty sure if I ever take a trip to France again one of these days, he would let me stay at his house. So congratulations, Fabrice. Next on the list of honorees is Dana in Austin, Texas. Dana consistently leaves me positive comments, loves the Jimmy Jeff segments, and he has listened to all 100 episodes.
Why would you want to do that?
A true fan of the show and a guy that knows a great podcast when he hears one. Thank you, Dana, and congrats. And the final lucky, extremely proud, and I'm sure completely grateful person to have this overwhelming honor bestowed upon them is Dan the Man Cunningham. Dan is a faithful listener, and as I mentioned earlier, he listens to the Rockcast at work. But not only did Dan and his wife fly all the way from Maine to Kansas City to see my band play, in the past, Dan has also sent me emails, top 10 lists, and even hand-delivered me a case of red hot dogs.
Wow, that is so incredibly creepy.
So to Dan and the rest of the new members of the Monty's Rockcast Listener Hall of Fame, I salute you. Now, if you weren't on that list, don't feel bad, because I will be naming more inductees in the future. As with any Hall of Fame, you got your first ballot people, and then others have to wait. So to those of you who didn't hear their name called, hang in there, keep listening, and by all means, don't do anything foolish or drastic. It's not the end of the world.
Do we realize how stupid this is?
But that's enough about you. Now I'm going to talk about me. And here's a segment I haven't done in a while. It's called, what was it called?
I'm Just Saying.
Oh yeah, now I remember. It's called I'm Just Saying. That's right, I'm just saying, not to be confused with my least favorite things, or that's just me, or any of the other numerous segments where I just talk about myself. This is nothing like them and completely different.
It's always the same.
First topic is concert etiquette. I presume everyone listening right now knows how to act when they go out in public. But apparently the redneck morons that live in this fine city where I preside have no freaking clue.
Yep.
It could just be me and my bad luck, but it seems like every time I go out to see a band play, I get stuck next to the most obnoxious person on earth. In the past, I have been doused with beer, slapped in the face repeatedly by some girl flinging her hair, kicked in the head by a 16-year-old crowd surfer, had my ears blown out by some guy that was whistling louder than Tom Petty was playing, and I got thrown out of a Faith No More show back in the 90s when a girl just decided to start punching me. Granted, I know when I go to these kind of things, I'm going to have to put up with a certain amount of drunk people, and they always seem to find me. I'll just be standing there minding my own business, and all of a sudden hear some guy right in my face, "Hey, dude, what's going on?" And I'm just thinking, why me? There's thousands of other people here. What, do I look like a fellow stoner? Well, yeah, I guess I kind of do.
Yeah!
But regardless, it happens all the time. And years ago, I went to see Todd Rundgren in Utopia, and they were playing two sets. They played for about an hour, and then they took a break, and then they were coming out to play for another hour or so. And of course, I'm a big fan, and I'm thinking they're great, and I'm sitting there during intermission, when all of a sudden, here comes this guy, sits right down next to me, and he's just wasted.
Totally.
And of course, he immediately starts talking to me, and he's just like, "Hey, what's happening, man?" And I'm trying to be nice, and I'm just like, "Yeah, not too much." And then I swear to God, the guy says to me, "Man, that first band sucked." And I looked at him, smiled, and said, "Yeah, and you ain't gonna like the next band any better." I've just never understood why people would go to a show and get completely bombed to the point where they couldn't remember what they saw. If I'm paying good money to go to a concert to see a band that I love, I want to take it all in and remember every second of it. And I know I'm sounding like an old man, but back in my day, we didn't have mosh pits. You didn't have guys swinging their arms around and acting like idiots. We just stood there and watched the band and we liked it.
Thanks, old pal.
Another thing I hate at concerts is the guy that holds the girl on his shoulders. That may be great for the girl, but when I get stuck behind you a-holes, I can't see a thing. And a couple of months ago when I went to see Steel Panther, not only did I get behind that guy, but when she wasn't on his shoulders, he was holding his phone up trying to video the entire show.
Jackass!
Once again, when you do that, it's hard for people to see around you. If you want to take a couple of pictures or video a song, that's cool. Just don't leave your phone in my face the entire night.
Come on!
So if you're going to a concert, enjoy yourself, have fun, but just don't be an inconsiderate jerk. I'm just saying.
All right.
Okay, here's something you probably won't be able to believe, but the other day I was watching some TV.
No.
Yeah, seriously.
Get out of town!
Yeah, and there's no telling what you're going to see on your television anymore. The other day I decided to check out some daytime TV, so I flipped on the tube and there's a couple guys making out on Days of Our Lives. I know it's been a while since I've watched any of those daytime dramas, but that was a new one for me.
What was going on there?
I used to like this show called Young and the Restless, but it was just ridiculous. Every single character would end up in the hospital on their deathbed at some point, either from a gunshot or a car crash, and the kids would be 6 years old one day, and then the next week they'd be 18. And I guess as a viewer, I just wasn't supposed to notice that they'd grown up overnight. So after I figured out what a waste of time that was, I started channel surfing and came across an old show called Boy Meets World.
Oh my God.
Yeah, remember that?
No, I don't.
I hadn't seen that in years, and I happened to catch a rerun on cable. But it was an episode that I apparently hadn't seen before, because at what point did Corey start banging Topanga? Yeah, I must have missed that one. I know they started dating when they were 10 years old, but I think things must have changed over at the Family Channel.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I'm not a prude. In fact, I enjoy a little late night viewing on Showtime.
Yeah, you do.
They got this reality show called Gigolos. It's about male escorts, and it's absolutely pathetic and hilarious.
That is filthy.
I find the program fascinating for two reasons. One, because I don't know how anyone could do that for a living. And two, these are the douchiest D-bags to ever live.
Just charming.
It's I can't divert my eyes from this car wreck TV at its finest. Or worst. But television is not what it used to be. I'm just saying.
It's awesome.
The next topic is dreams. And I know what you're saying. Oh, Monty, you mean the kind of dreams you have in your sleep at night? Well, yeah, exactly.
Oh, please.
Some people's dreams are exciting or incredibly dirty.
Well, you have my attention now.
But for me, as you might guess, mine are much more disappointing.
What a surprise.
Yeah, for me, every time I go to sleep and have a dream, it's always the same. There I am, about to go on stage and play some big giant festival, and I look down at my bass, and there aren't any strings on it. And I'm like, oh no, I forgot to string my bass. And I can hear the intro music, and the rest of my band is ready to play, and they're already out there, but I'm backstage just struggling trying to get the strings through the pegs. And I'm starting to panic, and I'm freaking out, but I finally get on stage, and I look around, and somehow I've become a member of Motley Crue.
What?
Yeah, I know, it's strange. I guess I must have replaced Nikki Sixx somehow.
This is a freaking nightmare.
But I run over and jump up on the riser, and I try to start jamming with Tommy Lee, but he's just looking at me like, no, we don't like you. And I'm thinking, why? What have I done? And Vince Neil just shakes his head at me and walks over and says, man, you are not in the band.
That's right, tough guy.
My dreams rarely make sense, but they're almost always filled with tension and anxiety. And come to think of it, so is my real life. I'm just saying.
Just relax.
Now, most of you probably think of me as a talented person and a fairly skilled musician who can play guitar and bass and jump around on a stage while performing reasonably complicated pieces of music. Well, that's all well and good, but what you don't know is that I suck at bowling.
I am absolutely stunned.
Yeah, I know, but I do. And it would probably help if I actually went to a bowling alley more often than, say, once every 5 to 10 years. But every time I do go, I am reminded of just how inadequate I am.
Yeah, you are.
It's like the other night, Lindsay's daughter turned 12, and for her birthday party, she wanted to take a bunch of her friends bowling. So we agree, and when we get there, the guy behind the counter says, "That'll be $104, please." After I revived Lindsay from her unconscious state, we put on those incredibly ugly clown shoes that we had to rent and began hurling gutter balls like there was no tomorrow. And that's when it all came back to me. I had almost forgotten how much I suck at this. And it looks so easy. All you gotta do is throw the ball down the lane and knock over some pins. But I have absolutely no control over the ball whatsoever. And it's not like I'm uncoordinated or don't have any athletic ability at all. I used to play basketball and I could shoot the lights out on occasion. But you put a bowling ball in my hand, and it's as if I was born without motor skills.
Pitiful!
And it's supposed to be fun, but it just ends up being embarrassing. I walk up there all manly and fling it down there as hard as I can and end up knocking down one pin.
I'm turned on.
And then I have to take that humiliating walk of shame back to my seat, and everyone's looking at me like, gee, I thought you'd be better than this.
You're pathetic!
But all I can do is gaze up at the scoreboard, see that I've got 50 in the 10th frame, and feel like a complete loser.
Colossal failure!
But we kept bowling for 2 hours, and I actually had moments of non-suckage where I threw a couple of strikes. But by the time we left, I had blisters on my fingers, and I felt like I needed a knee operation.
That's fabulous!
Maybe I'm just too competitive, but I don't think I'm going bowling anytime soon. Because I'll tell you, at this point in my life, I don't need to do any activity that lowers my self-esteem any lower than it already is. So the next time I want to have fun and enjoy myself, I'll probably just sit on the couch with a big bowl of cheese dip and watch some TV. Because I suck at bowling. I'm just saying. Before I go, I wanted to say thank you to everyone for your kind emails and comments about episode number 100. My good friend John Rampage in the UK says, brilliant run, Monty. Major credit to you on hitting 100, mate.
What the hell was that?
Well, thank you and thanks for listening, John.
Sure, whatever.
I also heard from Robert Donati in Phoenix, Arizona, who said, just listened to number 100 while waiting for my plane. Excellent job. Love the Mandels rant. I feel the same way about fanny packs. Looking forward to the next 100.
When is this going to be over?
Well, thanks, Robert, and I'm glad you agree with me on Mandels, but when James Hetfield from Metallica is walking around in flip-flops, I've just got to give up the cause.
How sad for the world.
And finally, I got this email from Cohen in Canada, who says, Monty, I like your show a lot. I do have one question, though. You seem to be a positive guy, a man who knows what he wants and goes for it. I like that a lot. One thing I don't get is, why do you always complain about no financial support from your listeners?
Now, why is that?
Well, thanks for your email, Cohen. I'm glad you liked the show, and I'm sorry if I sounded like I was complaining. True, I've been screwed over a lot in the course of my career, and I haven't made a lot of money, but I do appreciate each and every person who listens to this show. And believe me, I understand these are tough economic times we are living in right now. And if you can't afford to buy a CD or a t-shirt, well, I understand.
Something's wrong with you.
I mean, sure, it'd be nice if someone would go to MontyCalvin.net and buy some of my crap. But do I expect you to? Well, no, I do not.
Please send money.
I mean, the mere thought of a musician or artist actually making money from something they're good at? Yeah, right.
The audacity.
So don't worry about me. You won't hear me complaining anymore because I don't deserve a thing, and I'm just lucky to be breathing.
You know what? Get you some food stamps.
All right. Well, I think this has been a good show today. I gave you some CD reviews, and I showed some love to the fans.
It was awful.
But now it's time to end it with a song by the Yo-Yos.
Who?
They were a band from England. They came out around 1998, and they featured former Wild Hearts bassist Danny McCormick. I actually got to see the Yo-Yos play at a little bitty club in Lawrence, Kansas back then. I got to talk to Danny before the show. He was a really nice guy. And then later during their set, he threw up on stage.
It was a joy to watch.
Yeah, but it didn't matter because they were a really good band. And if you're into the Wild Hearts and stuff like that, I suggest you check it out.
Okay.
This is off their CD, Uppers and Downers, and I hope you like it.
You're going to hate this.
But that's going to do it for me for now. So until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
show sucks.
I thought the thing was never going to end, to be perfectly honest.
It's over!